from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome in to a Thursday edition of Sports Daily. Jacob Albracht, Tommy Kester, glad to be here with you. Jad Chambers here as well. He's manning the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, which is excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. It is a Royals day off and a day for us to sort of, you know, take account of things as they get a win in the series finale of the Angels. We said they needed to win a bunch of those six games. They won five of them. Not too shabby. We'll get things reset here before they start what will be a gauntlet of a schedule for 3 weeks. But we'll get into that. We'll get into a Chiefs game day. Any final thoughts for the Chiefs as they finish up the preseason tonight? The starters, of course, getting ready for the Ravens, but that doesn't mean there isn't a lot on the line for a lot of different players tonight in that game. So we'll get through that as well. Our buddy Tim Fitzgerald will join us top of the next hour, our K-State insider. Continue to make some final preparations, get some final thoughts ahead of K-State. Next week's a game week. Next week, we'll get Wyatt Thompson in here to talk about K-State. We'll reconnect with our KU insiders. We'll have Chiefs. Hey, next week is really the takeoff week that we build to every summer, and we're really excited about that. And you just throw in a playoff baseball chase, Tommy, and this is sort of uncharted territory for this version of the show. We're really excited about it as well. Your calls welcome, of course, on the IHOP hotline. Your video comments are welcome as well. We got a lot of folks that watch us on 12 News Connected, a lot of folks that watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and X. You can leave us comments on any of those platforms. We'll get them out over the air. It's an easy way to communicate with us if you're away from your radio. Of course, if you're away from your radio, you can also listen to the program on the Odyssey app. If you're not able to listen in the present, you can listen from the future. We put this thing in podcast form for you right there on the Odyssey app as well. Tommy, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Good to be here today. Looking forward to jumping right into it. As you mentioned, you ran through the list of everything, a lot to get to. So excited about it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Tommy, how jealous are you that you've been missing out on Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays?
I didn't even know this was a thing until I saw you post on X last night about it.
It wasn't a thing.
Okay.
So 2 weeks ago, Savage was in his Hawaiian, which I appreciate so much, and I felt very jealous, so I ran and grabbed one for the rest of the show. And then yesterday, right before the show, he's like, we should do Hawaiian shirts every Wednesday. And I'm like, that is the best idea I've heard in a long time. And I do marketing stuff professionally. I'm like, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. So now it's a thing. We're full steam ahead on Hawaiian shirt Wednesdays. I thought you would be on board with this as somebody who appreciates a Hawaiian, as somebody who should, you know, get that out on the streets. Who wouldn't want to get on board and be a sponsor for Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays? I think we got like a new Hawaiian restaurant coming to town. We got all kinds of opportunities here for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I will actually participate in that. You're not going to, you know, catch me in a Hawaiian shirt. Doesn't really seem like something that, you know, would really work for me. But from a marketing perspective, sure. Like, you know, if there's a sponsor out there that would like to be the title sponsor of Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays, I'll gladly work with them to make that happen. You just won't catch me dead in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yes, we will. Yes,
we will. No, you won't.
It is a statement. It's a life statement.
Look, there's a lot of things that I embrace as being now at a point in my life where I'm a middle-aged dad, but a Hawaiian shirt is not one of them. But I think that, you know, I know that you can, if you're watching the video stream, you're only seeing like from the chest up from both you and I. But I just need to know, when you're rocking the Hawaiian shirt, are you also rocking the tall socks and sandals? Is that part of the ensemble?
No.
Because it should be. That completes everything.
Wear. That's not a dad thing. Like, kids are the ones.
No. I'm talking like the brown sandals, like with the tall white socks. Like, that's not
Birkenstocks. I have Birkenstocks. No, I don't ever wear tall socks. I we're trendsetters here. We'll do what we want. And a Hawaiian shirt, there's nothing that lets the world know that you're not afraid of a good time than wearing a Hawaiian shirt at any occasion. So Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays is in full effect. Anybody out there wants to, you know, throw a little cash at that, it's a great opportunity. Just give Tommy a call. All right, Tommy, let's start with the Royals here. 3-0 winners, perfect, you know, outcome for them. We got to see it's perfect in a lot of ways. You know, I think you weren't here yesterday. The loss was, it's not good to see, but we learned a lot through it. We learned that the underbelly of the bullpen is just flat, not very good. We learned that it will be interesting down the stretch to see the Royals play from behind late in the game and how they try to navigate that part of their bullpen, because none of them are pitching well right now. And then a day later in the win, we learn and are reminded, but the good part of the bullpen's been good. And maybe Schreiber, who wasn't, you know, he wasn't lights out yesterday, but he got the job done. And Urcig, of course, continues to be flat lights out. And Lorenzen was great. I mean, that was as good a start as he's had all year. He was really, really good. That's what, you know, that's certainly the formula for not just the Royals, for a lot of teams to win. You get your starter deep into a game and you go to the good part of their bullpen. But it is, it wasn't that long ago, Tommy, where this seems like Captain Obvious, but it wasn't that long ago where we didn't know if they would have this, right? They had a lot of games where their starters got them deep into a game and then they couldn't hold on. And so it is good to see it now. What, you know, 4 or 5 times here where we've seen them be able to hand it off to at least 2 or 3 guys in the bullpen and see the job get completed on that end. We saw that yesterday, and the day before we saw the exact opposite.
Yeah, and really, like, you go back to around the trade deadline with all the moves that J.J. Piccolo made, and outside of Hunter Harvey, you know, who is obviously injured right now and on the IL, all 3 acquisitions, you know, have really come to play as of late. Paul DeJong had a home run earlier in this series against the Angels that was crucial in that opening game. And then Lorenzen pitched fantastic last night, and Urcig has been pretty dominant and, you know, has shut the door multiple times for this team since the trade deadline. So 3 out of the 4 acquisitions have been really, really good for the Royals, and they look like, you know, obviously solid and crucial, important adds to this team, additions to this team. And last night was, again, another example of that. Lorenzen pitched great, and that's been, you know, such a great development for the Royals, and especially considering that once you get outside of the top of that rotation, Alec Marsh had moments as the 5th starter, but it was so inconsistent. And Michael Lorenzen, now on a team that, you know, is a contender and, you know, is going to make a playoff push, has shown why the Royals brought him in and provides a, more of that veteran presence. You know, he's somebody that you can trust. And he, you know, pitched, what, 7 innings last night, no runs, 4 hits. And that's about all you can ask for from your 5th starter in the rotation, in the veteran Michael Lorenzen. By the way, you talked about the bullpen. And, of course, Urcig is phenomenal and should pitch the 9th inning for the rest of the season and into the postseason. There's no doubt in my mind.
The high leverage
9th inning save opportunities should be just the automatic guy for the rest of the year, because he's been so fantastic. It's good to see Schreiber come in and be good. I agree with you. He wasn't great last night, but, you know, he pitched the 8th and, you know, walked one guy, but didn't give up any hits, didn't allow any runs to score. And then I know that you like Chris Bubich as well, as, you know, maybe another high leverage guy. Those three players, those three pitchers in the bullpen, I know it's not realistic to think this, but man, I wish they could pitch every night. I wish they could pitch the end of a game every single night.
So we went over that. You know, they will in the postseason. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. You just got to get there. In the postseason, that's what will happen.
Right.
Right. Like that, you only need a handful once you get to the postseason, but you still got to get there. And the trouble with that loss to the Angels is, I mean, you cannot be that bad, because the Royals were getting back into that game, right? Like, they were bailing out their starter. The offense was, and the bullpen never let them do it. Like, you cannot be that bad through 4 different guys. You, in the postseason, it's irrelevant, right? You're not going to hand the ball to anybody else unless you're way, way down early in a game. You're only going to see most likely a handful of guys out of the bullpen anyway. So, But you do still have to get there, right? And the starters are not what they once were. What I love about what Lorenzen brings, and, you know, we can call him a 5th starter all day. I don't think of really, I'm starting to just blend them all like 1A through E, because we saw Reagan struggle the night before, even as he's bailed them out a couple of times. I don't even know if it matters to stack them, because all of them, all 5 of them are capable of what Lorenzen gave them last night. All 5 of them are capable of what Reagan's gave them the night before. And
I think call him a 5th starter, by the way, because he came in for Alec Marsh.
He was the fifth starter. But I hear, and I'm like, you know what? Like, because at this point, honestly, I would say, like, maybe Reagan's, but I don't know. Even then, like, I'm not sure I would say any one over the other. Like, if you were starting game 1 right now, based on what we've seen the last, let's call it a month. I mean, I don't think that stacking is definitive anymore. And that's not a bad thing, by the way. It's still a positive. It's as much about all of them being good as it is the top of them not being quite as good as they once were. They've almost lifted that floor up a little bit. Maybe the ceiling has come down, at least the consistency of it. Look, I think you basically just kind of have 1A through E. Like, it doesn't matter. You don't get into a game. I'm not looking ahead at the schedule anymore like we were for a long time and caring a whole hell of a lot the way the rotation stacks up for a series.
Yeah.
The Royals have 5 dudes that you'll take any day. And, you know, again, nobody's bullpen is perfect, by the way. Nobody has 6 good relievers on their team. This isn't just a Royals problem. But you're in the middle of what's going to be almost certainly a wildly intense playoff chase. So everybody's got to find a way. Those 2-3 wins that you can get to go one way or the other based on a bullpen are probably going to have a massive impact on how this thing shakes out. Kansas City now 2.5 games back in the Central Division. That is very attainable with 7 games left against Cleveland head-to-head. They are tied. They remain tied with Minnesota, Boston. In fact, I think, hang on just a second. Give me 2 seconds, because I think what I'm looking at here, I think, is like out of date, which is very bizarre.
Well, they are 2.5 back of Cleveland.
Yeah, 2.5.
Cleveland lost last night.
Here's my wild card. 2.5, and then they are now 3.5. This is what was out of date. The wild card that I was looking at was out of date. They're 3.5. That's what I thought. Up on Boston. Seattle has fallen to... Seattle's still really good, but I think they've fallen to a point where we can sort of not pay attention to them for just a minute, right? They're 7.5 games. As great as their starting pitching is, they cannot figure it out. They're 7.5 back now. You don't worry about them, I don't think, at the moment. Tampa, I would put in that same category. So it's Boston. So basically, you're 3.5 clear of Boston going into this stretch of games we've talked about. But Baltimore / the Yankees are attainable for that top wild card spot, and the division is now attainable. I would just remind people, though, all of this happened while being able to beat up on teams you're supposed to beat up. And they did. They took 5 out of 6. I don't want to get overly excited when the schedule coming up is the schedule that's coming up either. Like, I think it's, you know, you've got to be realistic based on what we've seen over the course of a season. And what we've seen over the course of a season is the Royals are good at beating bad teams. And they are about a 500 team against good teams. And they're about to play 20 of them in a row. So, you know, take the standings today with a grain of salt. Let's talk about the standings on September 12th, which is a day off, after they finish that series in New York.
Yeah, but look, I think that it really comes down to who do you believe the Royals actually are? You know, do you believe that they are legitimate contenders? Or do you believe that they are pretenders? Are they contenders or pretenders? And that's going to, I think, determine the expectations on this really difficult stretch of ball games. If you think that they're pretenders, then the ceiling is probably 500 against this stretch of teams that you're playing with. That's probably the ceiling if you don't think that they are as good as the other best teams in Major League Baseball. Because remember, there's a lot of parity. There are not any like truly dominant teams in Major League Baseball this year. But if you believe right. that they're a legitimate contender, I'm not sure that 500 is the ceiling. I think that it could be over.
Oh, it's not the ceiling.
It could be over 500.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go into this stretch of baseball games and just think, man, if they can scratch out 500 baseball between now and that stretch, like, we should be feeling pretty good. No, I think that they're better than that. I think that they're a better baseball team than that. I think they've got so much talent in their rotation. The middle of the lineup is probably the best in the league. You know, they've got a dominant closer now. Sure, there are holes and deficiencies, but every team in Major League Baseball has holes and deficiencies. So I don't want to be, you know, overly optimistic, because yes, let's give credit where credit is due. It is a extremely difficult stretch of baseball coming up between now and the middle of September. It truly is. But if we really believe in it, and I do, I really truly believe at this point, I've seen what I need to see from the Royals to know that they have the talent and the ability to be a legitimate contender in the American League this year, then I think that they should go and probably will go better than 500 in this stretch. Now, maybe not by a whole lot, but I know that for a while, our conversations kind of centered around, okay, well, you know, let's look at this, you know, group of games coming up. And you know, if they get to 500 in that stretch, we got to be feeling pretty good. And I think they can do better than that. And I think they will do better than that.
Well, they absolutely can do better than that. It's not that they can't. It's that the season tells us that it's not super likely. I hope they do better than that too. I absolutely believe they're capable of being better than that. I'm just trying to be realistic to like the postseason chances. We've had an entire season almost to tell us that really them and every team in baseball, like if you go 500 against really good teams, you're probably in good shape as long as you're beating up on the other teams, and they are. So I would be perfectly content with 10-10. I think that will be good enough. Ken found it. I was looking for it. Their record against teams above 500 right now is 27-35. So they're 8 games under. I don't think that changes the expectation of what you should do. And I'll take your word for it, Ken, because I was just trying to find that record this year at 27-35. It has been a problem for this team, but this was my point, because I think it was Ken that, you know, brought this up, the White Sox thing a few weeks ago. That's been every team in baseball just
sure.
about. So,
and how many of those games happened before they acquired Lorenzen and Ursig
correct.
And
yeah,
DeJong?
That's absolutely right. How many of those games happened before the bullpen at least had the capability of preserving a lead?
How many of those games happened when Vinny Pasquantino was not hitting.
Correct.
And Hunter Renfro was not hitting. And, you know, all the issues that they had.
That's why I don't want to say, oh, well, they're, you know, whatever the equivalent of 8 games, 500 over that stretch versus 12. That's not the point. The point is, if you can go 500 in a stretch of game, that's going to be good for any team that faces a gauntlet like they're about to face. And that, while I would love to see them be better than that, I think it's hard to picture them being better than that the way we've seen this baseball season play out. I don't even know that I would say this team is streaky anymore. There was a point in the season where if you told me, like, hey, they'd be on a hot streak, I'd be like, well, they may win a ton of these games.
And they were matchup dependent. They were absolutely matchup dependent. They're not. I don't think they're matchup dependent anymore.
I don't either. But I think the reality is they play good teams. And so you have to take that into consideration. And I cannot wait for the challenge of it. It'll be stressful in all the right ways, and it'll be fun. We'll get more into that in the second hour. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Let's get final thoughts before the Chiefs game tonight. It is a preseason finale. No, it doesn't mean anything for the starters, but it does mean something for the team, for the roster, and they'll have some decisions to make. So we'll get into that as we make our way through. It's Sports Daily on a Thursday. Glad to be here with you, everybody. Want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for always bringing us a great cup of coffee at the KFH and Odyssey Studios. A little Chiefs talk coming your way next. Hey, all that baseball talk you just heard on KFH about the Royals, brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Thanks for listening on KFH. Thanks for watching on 12 News Connected. Having a little fun here on a Thursday. We get ready for, we'll call it Thursday Night Football, Chiefs-Bears. You'll hear that game, by the way, over on KNSS. I don't think we're going to get Caleb Williams. That would have been fun. But, you know, it is this game. And while it means the least for the starters traditionally in the NFL, it doesn't mean the least for the team. Tommy, it probably means the most for the team because it will, you know, contribute in and factor into deciding final roster spots. And, you know, I'm trying to, I've been kind of racking my brain a little bit of like, thinking of an example of a player that would have made it there that has become a main contributor. I think Isaiah Pacheco probably becomes the obvious answer of a guy who would have been right on the line somehow that really impressed through a preseason in this portion that became an absolutely integral part to winning a Super Bowl. He to me becomes the most obvious answer. And I'm sure there are more that I'm not thinking of, but you know, there are players that will be added to the roster based on a performance in this game, most likely that will one way or another largely impact what the Chiefs are able to do as they try to win a third straight Super Bowl.
Yeah, I get that. And I think that, you know, really being able to evaluate the bottom of the roster, I mean, that's really what the final preseason game is all about, figuring out, you know, any kind of final decisions and who's going to go where, who's going to make the team, who might be a practice squad player, that sort of thing. I think that we'll get a lot more clarity from that after tonight's game and probably even during tonight's game. I think snap counts will be able to provide a little bit of insight in what the Chiefs are trying to assess and figure out in tonight's game. I'll tell you one thing that I'm kind of looking forward to is I don't know exactly how long in the game it's going to be, but the way that Carson Wentz plays and the number of snaps that he's got under center, because you know, God forbid anything happening to Patrick Mahomes, but I think that they've got, you know, a capable backup quarterback on the roster. We haven't gotten to see a whole lot out of Wentz in the preseason. There's been a little bit here and there, but you know, I think by all accounts, from what I've heard, he's going to start the game tonight. I don't know how long he'll play, like I said. But I want to see what he can bring, you know, to the table, because having a quality backup in today's NFL, I mean, it was just a season ago, the number of different starting quarterbacks that went down throughout the season with backups coming in and replacing them, I think was at an all-time high a year ago. And
it was a lot.
And so, you know, it wasn't Patrick Mahomes, but you never know when that sort of thing might happen. And so having a capable backup, you know, is that much more important. And I really believe, you know, of course, the Chiefs had the luxury for a few years having Chad Henne backing up Patrick Mahomes, and Henne was absolutely a capable backup.
They've had great backups.
I don't know if I mean, I wouldn't put Blaine Gabbert up, you know, on that pedestal. We didn't see much from Gabbert last year.
No.
I think it was absolutely a step down from Chad Henne. And I think Carson Wentz gives you a little bit higher of a ceiling for that.
So, who was it before Henne? Matt Moore?
Matt Moore was there. They've had a handful of other guys.
Yeah, they've always been pretty good at that position. I don't. You know, is it a Lotacoon? A guy I've literally never heard of before this preseason.
He's probably a practice squad, you know, candidate, I would think. Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably where he
would slot in. Carson Wentz was brought in to be the backup. I would love to see Carson Wentz earn it to some degree.
Yeah.
I think I like Carson Wentz. I like his story. I like where he came from. But I also... like Ian Book's there, Olodokun's there. If the Chiefs could solve that position long term, it'd be nice, you know. But Wentz is a safety measure. I would like to see them all play a lot tonight. No Mahomes, it gets you an extra quarter basically versus what you've had in the other games. And it is important. I agree with you. It's important because we see backups have to play. We've seen the backups have to come in for Kansas City.
Yeah.
Years they've won a Super Bowl. So I'm with you there. I think I gave you the most obvious, like, you know, not guaranteed roster guy that has come in to be a key contributor. I go right back there, Tommy, with what if Isaiah Pacheco misses time? Can Denarik Prince be that guy? I mean, I think we'd like to think he can be. I think most people are more excited about his prospects than Clyde Edwards-Helaire at this point. So, maybe again, that's something to watch. Can he continue to look good and give you confidence? Because they are thin at that position. Now, I, again, would tell you that I think they're going to sling it more than they have. Go back a little old school, kick it old school a little bit. I don't think they'll run the ball quite as much this year as they have in the past, just by design. And again, I think that'll be intentional on their part. But it is still an important spot because Isaiah Pacheco runs violently. Isaiah Pacheco is one of the more likely players to at least need to miss some time this year. So that's an easy spot to look at. Offensive line's too obvious. And then we've talked for a week about wide receiver. That will be the most high profile tonight of what we're watching for. Can anybody make a play? Can anybody not make a mistake in some instances? You know, can Kadarius Toney, can Sky Moore, those two, can either of them have a big showing with a big opportunity that reminds us why the Chiefs invested what they invested in those guys? Like, all of those things are on a far more obvious display. Less obvious, that's where I mean, depth in the defensive backfield, they haven't been fully healthy. Steve Spagnuolo talked about this. It was either yesterday or the day before. It's been hard for him to truly evaluate the defensive backfield because they haven't been healthy in the defensive backfield yet. Reed is back now and has said himself that he will play in the opener on
social
media.
That's a game changer,
media.
I think having be available, whether he's at 100% or not, I mean, he can be an impact player.
Sure.
Whether or not he's 100% if he's just on the field.
No question. But what it does highlight is that they have not had a true look at that spot on the roster yet. And so there's opportunity, I would imagine, at that group tonight to show something. And not that I think Reed's going to play tonight. He's not. I just mean, like, that is a very unsettled position group, I would say, on the roster right now.
I do want to jump in there really quick because I don't know if unsettled is the word that I would use. I think that it is a secondary that we know has a significant amount of talent. I just don't at this point exactly know how, like, the snap counts are going to divvy out with those players. Because I think, and I know you probably didn't intend this, but when I hear unsettled, you know, I think, well, there's maybe some controversy and we don't exactly know how, you know, the players are going to, if they're going to be successful or not. I think that there's going to be a lot of success in that secondary. I just don't exactly know who slots in to what place at this point? I mean, Chamari Connor and Josh Williams and Jalen Watson, all of those guys are, you know, looks like they're going to see increased play and increased roles this year. But to what level, I think that remains to be seen.
I would bet you this. I'll bet you somebody that plays significant snaps in the secondary tonight ends up being a pretty key part of that secondary by the end of the year. When I say unsettled, I mean, I don't think we know exactly how that group is going to shake out. We know the starters, we know the mainstays, but I still think it's going to be a battle into the season for the second and third corner spots. Safety, they feel good. I think most people like the Washington State safety with Reed. I think that one's fine. But at corner, I think some of these guys that are out there tonight are going to end up being big time snap guys by the end of the year. And they haven't had, it's hard. That's very much a let's see this group work together position on the field, right? There's a lot of trust involved in the secondary. So I think that one, not that you can look and, to the naked eye during a game, you don't even see what's happening unless you're watching the all 22s a lot of the time in the secondary. And then the pass rush, the pass rush is something that will be a challenge probably well into the regular season. Who it is, is there a diamond in the rough out there? If Felix Anudike Uzomah continues to go slowly, is there a diamond in the rough that could step up? This is the kind of game where you might see that. Mitch Holthus was talking about this very thing with Steve and Ted today and for the game tonight. Let's get you some of that, of what he's looking for and what he had to say based on what to expect out of this particular preseason game.
The obvious ones are wide receiver. Nothing's changed since our first report a month ago. And that is, there is a race of about five guys for two, maybe three slots. But that means two prominent names will go bye-bye or try to get snuck through on the practice squad. Offensive line concerns me right now more than anything. Joe Tooney, of our starters, who will not play tonight. We have a rookie at left tackle. Joe Tooney's coming back from a pectoral injury, surgery, and did not practice a little bit in the preseason. Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and they were messing with Trey's knee the other day. And we got right tackle Juwan Taylor, who's got a rotator cuff injury on his shoulder. All right. Then there's the second group. That's the group that's disappointed so far. And they've got to show up tonight. Juanye Morris, Lucas Niang, Mike Caliendo, C.J. Hansen, down the line here. Hunter Norzad. They have not been very good the first two games. They've got to be good tonight. Because, boys, if we're going to pull this off, think Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. That's how far we have to go, and you better get some O-line depth. You're going to need it. We're going to need it.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Every team needs it, you know, and in a perfect world, Wanya Morris, I suppose right now is your swing lineman, and you've got, you know, seven really with Niang that you feel really good about, and they're healthy, and you hope that seven's enough. It usually is not, but maybe it is, right? These, both of those guys, I think, can play. I don't know who backs up Creed Humphrey. I have no idea. But Niang and Morris can essentially give you a backup at every offensive line position. Is that enough? I don't know. Probably they're going to need at least one more, would be my guess. And that, and again, that becomes a key position. Anytime you're, I mean, if Tooney, who was injured in the preseason, misses time and somebody else is nicked up and you're getting down, there's always a chance you could have an unknown starting a game at any course of the regular season. And while that's not overly troublesome in a vacuum, it is when you're protecting Patrick Mahomes, the most valuable asset in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that depth piece for offensive line is going to be a really important piece of what the Chiefs are going to need. Maybe not today, but in a couple of months from now, maybe even further down the line, having some additional depth is going to be important, and versatility from whoever that player is. Because, you know, yeah, if Joe Tooney continues to have a lingering injury and you know, maybe it something gets re-aggravated or something, you might need a player to play guard. You might need somebody to cover one of the tackle positions. It's interesting. For a while, I was an advocate, and I'm not going to lie about it, I was an advocate for the Chiefs at least taking another swing at Donovan Smith. He's still unsigned. He's familiar with the offense. You know what you're going to get out of him, and so he could provide potentially a depth piece. I backed off of that a lot because the more that I thought about it, I think a huge reason why he has remained unsigned by any team, including the Chiefs, is the penalties that he brings to the table. That's what that's the biggest knock on him, is that he's going to draw penalties all the time. Jawan Taylor also draws a lot of penalties. And so if you have those two guys on the field, which that happened a lot last year, you know, they were probably the most penalized duo in the National Football League. And so in that regard, I do understand why the Chiefs have not been willing to go down that path. Again, even though they might be needing some depth on the O-line, I would anticipate that if they do need to look in that direction, that they might go for, you know, maybe another veteran as opposed to Donovan Smith, even though he's got the familiarity with the offense.
I think the biggest tip of the cap to Wanya Morris was probably no interest in bringing anybody else in. You know, Wanya Morris, if he ends up being the swing guy, I don't think it's like a knock on Morris. I think the fact that they've just not done anything else tells you they're pretty confident in him. And while Jawan Taylor is still your right tackle at the moment, I'm not convinced Morris and Suamataya don't become the bookends before the end of this season. I think it's entirely possible. We'll come back. Another topic that, you know, is out there now in the head, and I think this is a big, I know there were a lot of jokes about it, but Jalen Daniels and Lance Leipold this week has confirmed he will be the starter in week one. I actually think that's moderately significant. I think everybody laughed it off like, well, duh, of course he is. And I'm over here like, we hadn't heard that, you know, come out of the coach's mouth before. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Of course, we've got some K-State football talk coming top of the next hour with Tim Fitzgerald as well. Lots of stuff to get to. We'll give away some HTO on the program as well today. Stay tuned for your opportunity to win that. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. I appreciate Crestview's support. Great time to get out and golf. Great time to get out and play a little tennis. Check out all the weekly food specials there at the Crestview Restaurant and Bar. Get over there, take a tour, check it out. Tell them we sent you here at Sports Daily. Always appreciate their support. Tommy, we'll get more into this in the second hour. What do you is it a non needle mover for you at all to get the official announcement from Leipold that Jalen Daniels is good to go for week one. For me, it moves the needle in the sense that sigh of relief, all, you know, full steam ahead. Everything appears to be okay with his back. I mean, I think it's of significance.
Well, it's good to get that confirmation from Coach Leipold. And I think that really just stems from last season when there was quite a bit of uncertainty and nobody was really talking.
Absolutely.
It wasn't that, you know, the injury news one way or another was you know, that notable. I mean, it was notable for sure, but like we knew he was hurt because he wasn't playing, but there wasn't any sort of official designation, right? It was always like week to week and not exactly sure what's going to happen. And then you didn't really even know until the game started. And then even then you didn't know. There were a couple of games that Daniel suited up for last year and then never got in the game. And so like I remember there were fans that were trying to like decipher what was going to happen based on like they would watch for him out on the field during pregame warmups. Was he in uniform? Was he throwing passes? They would try to look at the video board and see if the PA announcer, you know, who he was announcing as the starter. Like there was so much uncertainty because there wasn't a whole lot of talk about it from Lance Leipold or Jalen Daniels. It took, you know, everything to kind of reach a fever pitch for Jalen Daniels to release a video. Like there was all this like speculation that he was going to transfer and all of that. So I do think putting all that to rest before week one starts for sure, I think is notable.
It is. Last year, they wouldn't ever say he was going to play. This year, they start the season by saying he's going to play. Yeah. That matters, right? You can beat around the bush all you want. And we assume if he's going to Big 12 media days and all these things, and he's out there at camp, but we assumed a lot last year, you know, what assumptions, you know, what they say about that. Yeah. And he just wouldn't play. And so it's like, okay, now we get the confirmation from a coach who is very much a non-believer in talking about these things to the media. He doesn't give you anything as far as it comes to, it's like Bill Snyder out there. Okay. Good, he's playing. Now you can, if you're a KU fan, you can begin to breathe a sigh of relief and get ready for a season in which if Jalen Daniels were able to play the entire thing, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Right? Sky's the limit. And so we'll see in week one, is it playing a full game against, was it Lindenwood? Does he play the full game? Does he only play a little bit? And then we can leave a little bit of speculation that he's not 100%. Like we're still going to have questions until you get into the meat of the schedule, which comes quickly. But I just don't know how. And it's I think it's KU fans being a little bit defensive, if we're being perfectly honest, that like why are we even talking about this? Of course he's going to play. Like, yeah, it's fine. Like everything's fine. Everything's fine. But it's not. Everything's not fine. Jalen Daniels has not played much football the last couple of years. He is one of the best players in the country. We got to see him play, and we'll get that chance, and I'm really glad to see it. Man, there are a lot of things I'm hoping for this year. Him playing a full season is right at the top of the list. The sky is the limit on what that guy can do. I cannot wait for it, and I hope he's fully healthy from the back. But at least we know we'll get our first look next week on that. We'll get, you know, more on that next week, of course. But that news did come down. I agree. I think it's of massive significance. There is not a more significant thing to the KU football season than the health of Jalen Daniels. So, yeah, you get confirmation that he's going to be the starter. That makes you feel better about a back injury.
I also think that it's important to note that really I think what makes it even that much more crucial for the Jayhawks is they don't have the safety net or the security blanket of Jason Bean anymore. And Jason Bean, yeah, was up and down
the
and
strangest wild, security blanket of all time.
You know, there were a lot of things that were really uncomfortable about the way Jason Bean played football, but he was dynamic and he was capable. Yep. And a lot of times with a lot of programs, there's a significant drop off from number one to number two as far as quarterback. And there was
like
a drop off. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't a significant drop-off where Jason Bean could still lead them to an extent. They don't have Bean anymore. They have Cole Ballard, and Cole Ballard,
I like Ballard,
probably will take another step forward this year, and that helps a lot. But he's not Jason Bean. And so you do have...
He's not Jalen Daniels.
Right? Like, so you do probably have a larger drop-off from Daniels to Ballard this year than you did from Daniels to Bean.
Yeah, I think that's a little I think that's hard to predict, but you know there's a drop off after Jalen Daniels. That is clear. I mean, that's crystal clear. Every program in the country would have a drop off after Jalen Daniels.
Remember, Jason Bean at one point was the starter and Jalen Daniels was his backup. So, you know, like there was obviously a lot that Jason Bean could bring to the team. There were things he did that were not great, but, you know, you kind of have to take the good with the bad with him. They don't have that this year. The Jason Bean journey is done.
Jalen Daniels can win a Heisman. It's that simple. If he plays full season, he can win a Heisman, right? That's how good he is. And I'm not – go look at the odds. Vegas agrees. Like, he is a legitimate bona fide Heisman candidate. So, yeah, when he plays coming off a back injury, that news is significant. Glad to get it, and I can't wait to see him play. 869-1240, we'll talk a little K-State football when we come back. Our buddy Tim Fitzgerald joins the program for his weekly Thursday visit. Don't go away.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.